time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, and extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the crib. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the crib. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter.
Let's freaking go, LSU baseball. Y'all done let Jay Johnson cook up something really special for this postseason, as the Tigers will rightfully get their chance to defend their crown after they scalloped the great Georgia Bulldog baseball team. I don't care if they have Condon. I don't care if they have former LSU baseball coach Wes Johnson. He was just a pitching coach. He seemed a little salty after LSU ran up the score on him in what many people considered a must-win game. LSU baseball will lock it in, be in the postseason. Shout out to Jay Johnson. You fended off the haters. You stuck with Braswell at shortstop, just like you stuck with Thompson at shortstop last season. All hail what many people would consider one of the most talented coaches LSU has ever had in any sport. I feel the best of Jay Johnson is ahead of him. He might not ever have a team as talented as he had last year, but he has worked wonders getting this roster to where it needs to be. This is not the best LSU baseball team of all time, but Tommy Tanks, Milam, the whole crew, they were able to get it done today. So big shout out to the great Jay freaking Johnson. Now, I'm the football guy. I'm not going to give you full baseball breakdowns of splitters and cutters and the extra green base that they included at the first base line, which I kind of like. We'll get into that a little bit later. I want to talk about dodged bullets. Okay? Type Y for yes. Type N for no in the chat if you can hear me loud and clear. If you're listening to this via podcast, please hit that subscribe, five-star review button, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, whether you listen to this via a megaphone or one of those old styrofoam cups with a string attached to it. I just want to be loud and clear that LSU dodged a major, ginormous bullet, and we just don't realize it just yet. Now, what I would like to do, and I don't do this early enough. My wife got on this to me about this, that I don't promote the Patreon enough. Because if you're a diehard LSU football fan, you would already be subscribed to the PHL Patreon. And I released two of my biggest studies that I have done in this channel's history over the last 48 hours. Normally, I spread it out because they do take so long to do. But I released not one, but two. I broke down the 2020 LSU recruiting class, and at the same time, the day before, I broke down the 2021 LSU recruiting class. One is an audio podcast only, another is a video. So sign up for the PHL Patreon. Every single one of you get a Joe Burrow card in the mail from yours truly. And one thing that Brian Kelly has had to fight against is what has been a rough, and I mean rough, last couple of years when it comes to high school recruiting. Now, what's very interesting about that is LSU's recruiting rankings haven't really dipped all that much. It's just a higher amount of bust have come through the program than what used to be the case. So that is all given to you very cleanly on Patreon. So go check it out, and you will begin to see that maybe it's not all Brian Kelly or Matt House or whoever you want to blame's fault. I think a lot of it is Matt House, Bo Pelini, and all of that. But check it out for yourself. Now, we say hi to Rob. We say hi to LA Mom. We say hi to John. Chef wants a Milam jersey. Epic Shorty. Leslie. I think Leslie's joining the Patreon tonight. John Bro, welcome to the channel. You are correct. Wes was crazy. And funny thing, Wes used to be the neighbor of my best friend in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So, you know, cool fun fact. I think I've shared that on here before, but LSU dodged a major bullet. So a few years ago, there was a growing group of people that wanted LSU to hire Billy Napier. All right. I have been very defensive of Billy Napier. I have not victory lapped LSU avoiding Billy Napier because I realize that Florida's athletic director has stupidly loaded the schedule to where not many coaches would be surviving at Florida right now. And they did just recruit a top five class nationally with the number one overall five-star quarterback committed to the school. So Billy has done a really good job recruiting the program. But his in-game coaching isn't the best. I hate head coaches that are also the primary play caller, which Billy is, and I would despise that if that was the case at LSU, because he is not Lane Kiffin, and even Lane doesn't, I won't say he doesn't call plays, but he says he doesn't call the plays. Whatever the case may be, Billy does actually call the shots. If I am not mistaken, I could be totally wrong on that. It's just too much at a major Power 5 university. It's way too much. But he's mostly not been good. Even though I've been defensive of him, and I am not a UL raging Cajun, I am sure as hell not a Florida Gator, the school that I hate the most. I've been very defensive. But Billy Napier was not the right guy for LSU. Now, you can go back and take a look at when I did a deep dive on Billy Napier. And I would not have minded him being the guy. I would not have minded it at all. And just because of what he's done at LSU or what he's done at Florida doesn't mean he would have not been successful at LSU. He probably would have been better off because LSU is a better job than Florida is. But let me be very clear. The right decision was doing the thing that wasn't easy. And Scott Woodward, in the middle of what was a huge transition period for LSU, knowing that he had to pay Ed Orgeron the $17 million buyout, went on ahead and chose Brian Kelly. Now, the easy thing would have been to hire Billy Napier. It would have been the easy thing. But Scott Woodward did not do the easy thing. He went, stuck his neck out for Brian Kelly, knew there'd be a bunch of people saying this stuff about the culture fit, and Brian Kelly has mostly been a big-time success at LSU. Now, this is not me saying that Brian Kelly has been without fault. I guarantee you there is a piece of Brian Kelly who knows he needs a national championship on his personal resume, knowing that he is a historian of the game. There is a piece of Brian Kelly knowing that he needs to win a national championship to help solidify his all-time greatness. And Brian Kelly probably loses sleep knowing that the team that probably should have won a national championship was last year's team, if you fielded a respectable defense. 2022 LSU defense, mix it with this year's LSU offense, they are probably the favorite to win the college football playoff. Even if they did still lose the opening game versus Florida State, if LSU would have won out, they would have put them in, I think. But the bottom line still remains the same. Even with that, even with the criticisms of him saying one thing one way when he should have said it another, even with all of that, we are in a better spot with him than what we would have been with Billy Napier. Now, how do I know this? Well, Billy Napier is in a little bit of a kerfuffle here with this Jaden Rashada stuff. Now, do I think it's a little bit overblown? I do, because there is a lot of money at stake. And if I was Jaden Rashada, I would probably sue to see if I can get a little bit more out of this situation. But the truth is, Billy Napier and the Florida Gators were caught trying to pay this young man $1 million. It never got paid. It's part of a quote-unquote signing bonus. And it caused a major headache amongst Florida's collective, Jaden Rashada, in the Florida Gators program. It was a big distraction coming off a rough season in which you went 6-6 and got blown out in your bowl game, followed that up with a 5-7 season. So I'll be honest, I'll just say it again. I don't think the Rashada lawsuit is really anything that Florida fans should be too worried about. I don't think Florida fans are screaming from the rooftops about it. But it's just another mess that Billy Napier has to clean up. And I'll say it again. LSU, we got our own messes to clean up. We have our own NIL things that we need to get tightened up. But as the time has passed, with Brian Kelly still having a really elite 2025 crop, Brian Kelly changing the narrative of the most important position group in college football, which is the offensive line, and the fact that LSU went from relying on a Harvard offensive tackle to play center to now being stacked with four-star blue chippers playing center, and your other four guys being all returning starters, two of which will be first-round draft picks in next year's NFL draft, the first time we will have an offensive lineman go in the first round since Kevin Y in 1998. Brian Kelly has done a lot of good for LSU. And I know for certain, pretty much know for certain, that I do not think Billy Napier would have had the same level of success. I really do not think so. For a lot of different reasons. The biggest of which is calling the plays when you are the head coach. I don't mind it in the NFL. I really don't. I don't mind it at the high school level. The collegiate level, though, there's a lot more that you have to do as a head coach than what you have to do in all the other levels. I'm not saying that it's harder. It's just there's more stuff you got to do that has nothing to do with football. And I don't want my head coach calling plays. I don't. I don't mind my head coach having input. I don't mind my head coach having a say on what the two-point play is, it should be. I don't mind if it's fourth and short and the head coach calls I don't like calling timeouts, but only as time-saving mechanisms. That's a different story for a different day. But if a head coach wants to audible or call something that he thinks he wants to be called in that spot, fine. I just don't want you to be the down-to-down play caller. It's just too much it. It's too much. Okay? So, loving what Brian Kelly's doing with the program. Maybe Billy Napier hasn't called the plays anymore. Maybe I'm totally wrong on that. But I know the Anthony Richardson season, he definitely called plays. And I'm pretty certain he called the plays last year. So, I don't think the lawsuit is going to mean anything in the long term. I think Rashada is, going after, a money grab here. But it's another mess at the University of Florida. Now, I will say this, and my videos are still up. There are other head coaches I think that would have done well at LSU. I really do think so. But if I had known Brian Kelly was even a potential candidate, he definitely would have been a top five candidate for me. He definitely would have been. And he's done mostly good at LSU. Sunbelt Billy was fine with Florida's cheap shots versus LSU, so I'm good with his woes now, says Cole. Florida distanced from the school from Naep's lawsuit today. I would not be shocked if Florida fired him. I would not be shocked if Florida fired him before the season. I think it's a lower case lower likelihood than what some people would like to think. But at this point, I would kind of prefer Billy to still be the coach, because if things do get rough, which I think with Florida's schedule, they very well could, LSU could be playing an interim coach. And LSU historically versus interim coaches, as is the case with a lot of really good programs, they're in a really good spot going up against an interim coach. Obviously, most recently, Purdue, but there are some other instances where that has been the case. Now, as we always do, this is a live stream for you guys, for me as well, to hear your expert opinion on LSU football. But if you do have a question, and you know, I've been doing this for a few years now, been in LSU media since 08. I'd like to consider myself an expert. If you want to ask the expert here, this is why it's here, baby. A fun, free-flowing conversation about LSU athletics. Now, I do want to mention that as excited as I am about LSU baseball, and I am very excited, LSU softball, of course, far more pivotal year for them than LSU baseball. Making the tournament was the main goal for LSU baseball after what was a treacherous start to the year. So obviously that is our main focus. Will we beat Kentucky tomorrow? I have no idea. But what I will tell you is Kentucky's looking for revenge. You know, we sent them packing in the postseason last year. So can Kentucky get their revenge? They're going to be very motivated to do so. So we'll see what happens. Now, as far as LSU softball is concerned, they did not catch the major break from Cal State Fullerton. Cal State Fullerton lost to Stanford. So LSU softball got friend-zoned in a major way as the number 9 national seed. I thought that was BS for a team that started the year 24-0 with a victory over number 1 Texas. For them to lose a national seed over that is crazy. But I'm not the LSU softball expert. That's a very biased opinion. I shouldn't even be saying that at all, but so be it. I'll be a fan. And Beth Tarina said so as much. Instead of playing a home series for a chance to go to the College World Series, LSU softball has to take a cross-country flight to Stanford and play a brutal matchup versus the Cardinal. And we have to wait till Friday for the results of that. Now, am I concerned about Stanford? Not really. LSU is lucky enough to be playing these games at night. I would be very concerned if the games were being played during the day, because if they were played during the day, the body clocks would be a little bit off. Let's say your first pitch is at noon or 1 p.m. If that's the case, you'll be playing a game at 11 a.m., which is very rare for, you know, a softball team. But no, first pitch on Friday night is going to be 9 p.m. Central. Okay, I say 9 p.m. Central. Yes, 9 p.m. Central, which is crazy to me. That's very late for an LSU softball game. That is 7 p.m. though, Stanford time, right? So if it was going to be scorching outside or whatever, or actually, I think I got the body clock thing wrong. If they played the game at 9 a.m., it would be 11 a.m. LSU time. So I had that wrong. I actually had that whole thing wrong. I had my logic flipped. Either way, I would prefer the game be played at night than during the day. I would. 9 p.m. is a late first pitch, though. So now I think about it, it's probably the opposite. It probably is a disadvantage first pitching that late if it's 9 p.m. Central time and it's 7 p.m. there. So, yeah, I had it flipped. Either way, no matter what, it really isn't anything that moves the needle too much either way. You got to get out there and take care of business versus a Cardinal. I couldn't name one player on Stanford. I would tell you their coach is Tara Vanderveer, and their star player is Cameron Brink. And their first baseman's name is Christian McCaffrey. I couldn't tell you one thing about Stanford softball other than we are going to win. But yeah, none of that made sense. Because if the game was being... See, I was thinking the other way. But whatever the case may be, hopefully Taylor Pleasance and company knock it out the park. Okay? Bet Tarina, I am with you in this fight. Now, let me see here. There's something else I wanted to get into in this first little opening 30. What was it? I lost my notes. I usually write out my notes, but I got lazy today and just run them on my phone. I think I deleted the note. Damn. Crap, what was it? Oh. One thing here, as far as LSU's recruiting for 2025, do I think they are in trouble? No. And I say this because I've gotten more messages today about DeCorian Moore more than anything. Even though we already did our Sunday night show regarding it, I won't talk too much about DeCorian tonight because it is just old news. Obviously, he still can commit it. That's been the main question, just a very simple, can we get him back? I just do not think it is really that paramount, even though he does have a year one grade for me, and I do think the recruiting ranking is there. You know, the recruiting services have gotten better at just ranking elite guys in general. You know, my main focus has turned the page to Jakeem Thanos-Stewart, or if he's going to reclassify to 2025, he's the elite five-star number one national prospect in New Orleans for the class of 2026. And I did get a chance to sit and watch Thanos. You know, mostly just his highlight tape. I hadn't been able to really get my hand on a full game this past year, but I'll give you my initial thoughts.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. So, I do think he's very good. I do. Now, I know what you're going to say, well, Carter, duh. Now, I've not watched anybody else from the class of 2026, nor do I really care to. I'd much rather just watch 2025 recruiting, but you know, there's word out there that he could reclassify for 2025. And I would totally understand why he would want to do that. And that would be something I would recommend him do. But the bottom line is this. Is he very, very, very good? Yes. I do think it is a little too early to say so-and-so is like far and away the number one overall guy. But Stewart is definitely the best defensive lineman to come through the state of Louisiana since Mason Smith. He is very good. And he's got an array of pass rush moves. I love the fact that he lines up across the defensive line. I also love the fact that, you know, if you're so much more athletic and you're going up against guys that are way smaller than you, you can just pop up and just beat them athletically every single time, which is obviously something that's not good in the long term because you can't do that, obviously, at the Division I Power 5 level. But he does have nuance to his game. And that's one of the things I look for from, you know, a 4 or 5-star prospect is are there some things that are relatively translatable to the next level? Are you just not out-athleting people? And Stewart is a very, very interesting guy. So I am in on Thanos. I am buying the hype. Now, I will say this. I was on AYS yesterday, and he said he thinks Thanos is clowny good. And I almost jumped through the screen. I was like, nah, I won't go that far. Okay, I won't go that far. Because Clowney will always be the best defensive line prospect ever. There will never be anyone as good as him coming out of high school. I truly do believe it's impossible. He is one of the best high school football players, if not the best high school football player I've ever seen. It's him, Reggie Bush, Leonard Fournette's mixed in there. That dude was in freaking insane. But do I think Thanos is really good? Yes. I really, really, really do think so. Okay. We go to Leslie Haygood. Now, I don't know if this is a comment directed towards me or if it's towards the whole chat. She says, by the way, I am single. Now, here's what I'll say. Leslie. Is I actually do wear your name on my wrist every single day. My longtime running coach, Leslie, who passed away a few years ago, I wear a little bracelet in memory of her, as does the entire running community I was a part of. So Leslie is a very fine name. It really, really, really is. But I'm very happily married to Hay. Now, here's the thing. That comment might not have been directed to me. It could have been directed to the entire chat. It could have just been Leslie saying, hey, fellow LSU friends, I'm single and ready to mingle. And you put it out there. Might not have been directed towards me. Might have been directed towards someone else. I know, Pierce, I said the same thing. I was like, and I looked at the chat of me. I said, by the way, I'm single. We had some wild moments on here. It was a big loss losing DeCorian Moore, but one thing, LSU always had wide receivers. The lineage is too great. Billy Ott, Jelani Watkins. Shelton Sampson and Kyle Parker, I believe. Oh, so I hope this isn't a yes that it was directed towards me. Because that would, I don't know. I think my wife would find it funny. Tyler, what's up, man? I don't think it was directed to me. I'm too hideous of a human. Now, once again, big thanks to our friends at nooffseason.com. Now, I got a question earlier in the day. Carter, what exactly does nooffseason.com do, and why do they support you? Well, I do a show on their network, and I'm a believer in what they are doing. They host a show called the Sports Card Strategy Show, which is more of a national look at sports cards. I do a football card show every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Central, and it is a part of the Football Card Quest Network. I actually just got an eBay notification of a player I am targeting as a potential flip opportunity. And that player's name is Jalen Daniels of the Kansas Jayhawks. I'm looking to buy some of his football cards, but the price on him has gone up. So what I do is I team up with the Sports Card Strategy Show and my football card network, and we discuss if it's worth investing in a certain player. And if we get a $20 super chat, I actually did find one player who actually is from the state of Louisiana whose football cards are dirt cheap right now. And he has got upside at the quarterback position. And his name is not Garrett Nussmeier. So if we get a $20 super chat, I'll tell you who that is. Or if you go sign up today to our Patreon. But check them out. Sports Card Strategy Show. Nooffseason.com. Now, you can find me on social media at Carter the Power. I'm also, and that's like my national stuff, at Power Hour LSU on Twitter and Instagram. This was very interesting. So someone who claims to be close to a program that I talk about quite a bit on Power Hour SEC reached out to me and said, did you know that so-and-so caused major unrest in the locker room over an NIL deal? All right. And it's ironic because a patron actually sent me a message about NIL unrest. What is it about NIL that causes division in the locker room? Well, the first thing is we don't know for certain if that is the case, but I've heard that it has caused some unrest in some areas. And my response to that is no shit. I think one thing we tend to forget about collegiate athletes is they are so freaking young. You know, when you think of professional athletes, there are truly diverse locker rooms when it comes to professional sports teams, right? Remember, college football recruiting is relatively regional, okay? And players tend to play at schools within their region. So it's not as diverse of a landscape, not only in terms of age, but in terms of thought process, in terms of culture, and so on and so on. I remember the first time I was at Saints camp, and you can visibly tell, if you look close enough, which players played in the Pac-12, and so on and so on. There's little things that you could see, right? And, you know, the NFL is just far more diverse landscape. And then the NBA and so on and so on. But most college locker rooms are kids that some of which can drink, some of which cannot. That's oftentimes the biggest divide. But, you know, these kids are famous. If you play for LSU football, you're famous. Now, are you needle-moving famous? Not really. There's only a few in every LSU locker room that are needle-moving famous. But the truth is, if one guy is getting paid more than the other guy, you're going to be jealous of them. You just are. Because you are there to major in football more often than not for a lot of kids. So yeah, you know, I've heard of NIL jealousy. What I can tell you though, as far as this from an LSU perspective, going back to the Dominic Williams thing, you know, when I hear these types of things in a different locker room that happened last year, and the team did suck, by the way, I then respect a little bit more what Brian Kelly had to say about Dominic Williams. And my thing still remains the same. If I am in the locker room, and let's say I am Jacoby and Guillory, all right? So I'm a starter-level player. I am of very much importance going into next year's team. And let's just say me as Jacoby and Guillory was earning a salary, and I don't know what his number is, but let's just say I was earning a salary of $150,000, which is still a lot of money. And you're still getting a free education and all of that, and you still have a really good shot of playing professional football at some level. But then I learned that Harold Perkins is making 3X what I'm making. Okay. Jacoby and Guillory is a smart guy. He knows that Harold Perkins has accomplished more than him and is just a better football player than him. It's not anything personal. I tend to think more locker rooms are not necessarily jealous of someone else making more money than him. They're envious, but not to the point of where it causes major division. Where I think the division can happen, though, is the opposite. The player that is making a lot of money flips the script and thinks that he is that much more valuable to the team, which more often than not, if you're getting paid a significant amount more than the rest of the team, you are more important to the team. But I still think it is so very, very, very important to understand that most of these kids understand their value to a certain team. And if I were in the locker room and I knew Will Campbell, Emory Jones, Garrett Nussmeier, and Harold Perkins all made more money than me, then me, as any other player on the team, should not be jealous of that. The only people that would be on LSU's roster who would be making less than those four that could have an argument is Mason Taylor and Kyren Lacy. Those are really the only two I can even think of. Okay? More often than not, I do think it's the opposite, where a player feels he's separate from the team because he's making that much more. I truly do believe it. Now, am I probably wrong on that? Probably so. Because there's just more people that are making less than those that are making more. Okay? Besides Leonard, the Salmon Master, Tyler Pegasus. Tyler's already been checking out the film study bonuses. Patreon.com/LSU football. It would make my night going through all what I went through to put together two super deep dive recruiting breakdowns in the Patreon if we were to gain at least one more patron sign up. $9.99 a month. Test it out for yourself. See if you like it. See if you like the Discord benefits where we chat LSU football, LSU baseball, LSU softball. We got two LSU softball aficionados there. So if you don't think I give you a good enough LSU softball breakdowns, which I don't, I'll admit it, we have Skipper and Sherry who know a crap ton about LSU softball. They break it all down for you in there. So please come join us. Please, please, please. Now, I'm going to say one thing about the NBA. All right. Thank you, Leonard. I appreciate that. Can I say one thing about the NBA before people get crazy? Because I normally wait until the 1 hour mark to chat NBA, which is a passion of mine. I understand there's a game going on right now. But I want to celebrate a man who is a one-and-done player at LSU. So the analytics show this to me, that the things that my viewers care the least about are, when it comes to any ties to LSU, are LSU players in the pros. Anytime I've done LSU player in the pro content, nobody really cares. They care about the current LSU athletes and the potential LSU athletes, which is crazy to me. I do a video on DeCorian Moore, gazillion viewers, and he's probably not going to go to LSU eventually. I do a video on DJ Chark, two viewers, when he is everything that is right about LSU football, three-star who didn't run away from competition, exceeded expectations, and also has exceeded expectations in the NFL. Now, you would think it'd be the opposite, that people would be grateful to witness some DJ Chark content. But no, it's just not how it works. It's what you are currently doing or what you can do for me, not what have you done for me. So I'm about to dedicate a two-minute portion of this show of not only a player who played, I'm not going to say a lesser sport, he played LSU basketball. But he only played LSU basketball for 1 year. And his numbers that year weren't even really that good. But he bet on himself, went undrafted, just for LSU fans to say, you should have come back. You went undrafted. We would have built the entire offense around you. Just for him to win the NBA Sixth Man of the Year award. So I've got to show some love to Naz Reid. I do. The dude is incredible. And my favorite thing about him, blue collar dude, lunch pail guy. He doesn't have one of these diva personalities. He'll punch you in the mouth. Stared down the face of Nikola Jokic and took it right to him. So shout out to the Wolves. We got a few Wolves fans that watch this channel, Jordan Adad being one of them. Naz Reid, man. He is a lot of fun to watch, too. I'm like, man. And I say all of this because the best athletes can come in all shapes and sizes. You wouldn't look at Justin Jefferson's recruiting ranking and think he would be one of the best LSU and NFL players of the modern era, which he is on that trajectory of being. Okay? You would not have thought that with Naz Reid. But when it comes to basketball, Naz Reid is the best one and done ever at LSU. I'll take him over Anthony Randolph. I'll take him over Ben Simmons. I'll take him over Cam Thomas. Now, Cam Thomas has a chance. Cam Thomas is really freaking good. Cam Thomas is really freaking good. But Naz Reid is that dude. Okay? I mean, LSU fans were livid. They're like, what? Well, why did you leave? You went undrafted. Now, obviously, selfishly, I would have preferred him come back because he was obviously on the ascent. And I'll digress to how he goes to, I would say, probably 20 men's basketball games a year. Those really good seats. He probably still should have come back another year if you're going to go undrafted in the NBA. But I still want to celebrate him because he wore the LSU letters proudly. What DJ Chark content? I've done some DJ Chark content on here. I'll randomly do a DJ Chark video. Okay. Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you do Super Chat, we'll keep it going. I have a feeling tonight, now we're going to get a few first-time patrons. We'll also get a few first-time Super Chatters in here. I think Leonard was referencing DJ Chark there, but you are right. Naz was a 5-star. Let's see. Yeah, I probably won't do any more Trey Holly content until we actually get something regarding that. Lance back in from Puerto Rico. Hope you enjoyed yourself, man. I'll be honest. You know, there's some nights where I'm on here and I'm like, man, dude, I'm freaking killing it. But I went a little bit outside of my routine, not fully like right now what I wanted to do tonight. I still prepped it all on my phone, lost all my notes, so I feel like I'm on my B game tonight. I really do. Maybe my C game. I don't feel like I'm on my A game tonight. I don't. It could just be that I'm still haven't recovered from my favorite coach of all time retiring. None other than the great Jurgen Klopp. He didn't retire, per se. He left Liverpool. It could just be. I mean, it's been an emotional time for me. Jurgen Klopp. I always said it. 2019 LSU, 2019 Liverpool. There's nothing that's ever going to beat that year for me when it comes to sports. Tough weekend for me. Tough weekend for me. But guess what? We move on. It was probably tough for some of us to see Ed Orgeron go. The difference is Klopp ended on top. He was still one of the best coaches on the planet. And Ed Orgeron was not one of the best coaches on the planet when he left. But I always go back to that, you know. On one of the Patreon recruiting breakdown videos, like, this has always been the case. This has always been the case. It is always better to end on top. Or it is always better to end your career on a positive note. All right. Like, for instance, when BJ Ojulari was done at LSU, there was nothing really more he could have done, right? Like, there really wasn't. Like, you got the near maximum out of him, right? You got 3 really good seasons in 3 years. Same thing with, like, Patrick Peterson. Now he's on a different playing field than Ojulari, but there was nothing, like, we remember those guys so fondly. DJ Chark, we mentioned a minute ago. Because you feel like you got, like, everything out of it. Right? And as I was putting together today's recruiting breakdown on Patreon, hey, look, Leonard, my man. been chatting it up on Twitter. That's my guy right there. And by the way, let me do this for my good buddy Leonard. There he is right there with the OGPHL shirt. One of my favorite photos right there, my guy Leonard. And then Leonard with the family rocking all the PHL gear that you can get now on powerhourlsu.com. I have not sold a piece of merch in a month. I'll be honest. Actually, I think it's been close to 2 months now. And the web bills get crazy. I think it actually has gone up. So please, go get you some PHL merch. PowerLSU.com/shop. It's very comfy. Thank you, Leonard, for always supporting me, man, on Twitter. All the good stuff. And we'd love to have you in the Patreon. But take care of the fam first. It's the most important thing. Now, if there was something I would tell every single LSU player, it's this. It's so important how you end your career. It is so important. Now, if you get hurt, there's nothing you can do about it. But your final year matters so freaking much. It really, really does. Okay? It is insane how much it matters. And a perfect example of this is Kayshon. So I was going through the 2020 recruiting class. That was what today's deep dive was. And I do one extra breakdown podcast or written piece. I've done two already this week. So I do about one a week. And I was thinking, man, Kayshon really blew it. I mean, he really, really blew it. And some of it was bad luck with the injury. So a lot of it was ego. But, man, he had so much goodwill. Like, it's ridiculous how vivid the Florida game was. He was making plays on punting, going all out for us. And how you end is so important. It really, really is. Now, if you take out the fact how you end your career matters, Kayshon is one of the most per-game productive LSU football players of all time, especially if you take out his final season. But that's the thing. You, as an LSU football player and as a college football player, need to understand that your games are scarce. It is very small sample sizes. Everyone vividly remembers almost every single LSU football game. Even if it doesn't come straight to your mind, if you give someone just a few details in their adult life of an LSU football game, they will remember a lot of the big plays from that game if they are a super fan of the team. And it is insane, like, how important it is to just finish on top, finish strongly. Like, you know, when someone says, hey, Carter, name an underrated player. I normally just mention Terrence Tolliver. I was like, okay, you want to talk about deep underrated players, Terrence Tolliver. Kid caught 3 touchdowns in his final game. And he was a very, very good LSU football player. But how he ended was so impressive. He never had the benefit of really, really, really good quarterback play, and he still produced. Drew a lot of pass interferences, caught a lot of clutch passes, won us a lot of football games. Final game, 3 touchdowns. So important to end strong. So important. Your lasting memory matters. Now, it might not matter a damn thing to an athlete. But your legacy is something I would like to think that most athletes hold dear to them. So even if you are someone that's accomplished a lot in one season or maybe even multiple seasons, and strong. Mekhi Wingo, perfect example. Unfreaking believable year one. Played a ridiculous amount of snaps. Played probably the maximum amount of snaps a defensive tackle could play, knowing that his projections going into the season was just a backup. Then he gets hurt his final season, strapped it up, final game versus Wisconsin, put on a show. I remember that. Tremont Waters, is he still in the league? Yeah, there's definitely that too, Chance. There is definitely that. Let me ask y'all a question. It's more for my fantasy football career. Do y'all think Blake Corum is good? I'm serious. Do y'all think Blake Corum is good? Because I feel pretty good about him in that Los Angeles Rams scheme. And Brian Kelly's boy, Kyren Williams. A lot of tread is worn off those tires. He's always kind of dinged up. I'm thinking that they're going to feed Blake Corum a lot next year. Let's go to Yenny. Chase Pittman was super underrated. Now, that's a deep cut. Are we talking about the defensive end, Chase Pittman? Chase Pittman was pretty good. Chase Pittman, I love it. We'll take a few more here. If you do Super Chat, we'll keep it going. In fact, I was actually going through the collection. I'll give out a Kayshon card tonight. First Super Chatter gets this $9.99 Super Chat. We'll get a Kayshon card in the mail. Yours truly. It even has my name on it. Got power on it. Most underrated member of DBU. Maybe it is Trey White. It just comes down to your definition of underrated. Like, he is underrated in the sense that, like, if you think DBU, rarely does anyone just say Trey White off the dome. They normally say Tyrann Mathieu or Patrick Peterson. It's normally one of those two. And obviously, more recently, most would say Derek Stingley. But underrated DBU member. I won't say Ron Brooks. Grant, because I would be extremely biased as Ron is. I hate when people say like close friends, but Ron Brooks is a relatively close friend of mine, and he's been a guest on here multiple times. So I will say Ron Brooks, in fact, because anytime I get a chance to talk about him, I will. Two pick sixes, 2011. I think he led the team that year. Jalen Mills is actually a really good answer. Four-year starter. Obviously, for the last season, he was suspended the first six games. But Jalen Mills, very good football player. Very, very, very good football player. Took a lot of criticism for a true freshman, but who wouldn't if you're replacing the great Tyrann Mathieu in less than ideal circumstances? So Jalen Mills is definitely in that mix. But yeah, Pegasus, as far as your logic here, I agree. I guess you could put it like this. Of the elite guys, he's underrated. Now, one thing that's hurt him, Pegasus, is he has been so hurt in the NFL. And the Bills are in the playoffs every year. And obviously, he's not with the Bills anymore. I think he went to either the Rams or the Chargers. I know it's one of the LA teams. I should know. But losing out on those primetime games or just suck for him. They really do. I hate it for him. I will say this, though. One guy that, actually, this is a spicy take. One underrated member or person when it comes to the legacy of LSU football is Tom Brady. Right? Tom Brady gave one of LSU's legendary players 3 Super Bowl rings, and Kev Falk. Jeremy Hill got a Super Bowl ring with Tom Brady as well. And you take a look at some of the best LSU football players of all time, a lot of them had big moments in Super Bowls. Corey Webster, as Cole ironically points out, he was just saying members of DBU. But Corey Webster's most famous play of his career was versus Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Jalen Mills had an incredible game versus Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, even though Tom went for 500 yards in that game. Mills had a huge play in that first half, I believe, that I think forced the Patriots to kick a field goal instead of a touchdown. He also had the huge play on Julio Jones in that wild card game to start off that year. And now, obviously, on a negative note, there's also some other LSU players that were on the wrong end of some Super Bowl heroics from Tom Brady. Darryl Simon is one, and Debo Jones is another. But Tom has been in the center of a lot of big moments for LSU players in the NFL. But the big one, of course, is Kev Falk. He was a Patriot Hall of Famer. And loved in Boston, by the way. Got a message on Twitter to temper my excitement for Jay Johnson turning this LSU baseball team around. I don't give a damn if this team ain't going to win the Natty. I don't. I like seeing people. Chance, thank you so much. Lombardi Lenny. Obviously the most recent. That's like the biggest duh moment. So, Leonard Fournette and Devin White. So, that's why you're Chance. You're super sharp. So, I thought about that like a month ago. I was like, man, Tom Brady has done a lot of good for LSU players in the NFL. And I totally forgot like the absolute most recent and obvious ones. Russell Gage went to the Bucs the year after. I believe they won the Super Bowl. Now, that'll do it for me on a glorious Thursday night live stream. No super chatters tonight. I think there will be more tomorrow. We should be live tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central. Please go join our PHL Patreon. It is a wonderful community of LSU fans. You get the extra recruiting breakdowns. One's a podcast, one's a video breakdown. The video breakdown's a fun sneak peek into a deeper dive that I'm doing. So make sure you check it out. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, 6 p.m. Central. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! And tonight we are doing a chicken quesadillas. Let's freaking go.